On this episode of Rock Down South, we sit down with Brett Kissel. We talk all about his brand new single called Ain't the Same that he recorded with 98 Degrees and much, much more. We hope you'll enjoy. Let's go.
Hey, this is Brett Kissel, and you're listening to Rock Down South.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Rock Down South, your home for rock and country music. Today, we talk with Canadian country superstar Brett Kissel. And if you don't know who Brett Kissel is, then you're truly missing out. He is absolutely massive in Canada and is getting bigger and bigger in the States. He has multiple number ones at Canadian Country Radio and several Juno Awards and Canadian CMAs for things like Male Vocalist of the Year and Country Album of the Year. And he actually just won a Juno Award for Country Album of the Year for his latest release titled What Is Life. But on this episode, we talk all about his brand new single and music video for Ain't the Same, featuring 98 Degrees, how that collaboration came together in the first place, and of course, the latest album, and a whole lot more. This is a really good episode that I think y'all will enjoy. So without further ado, here's the show. What's up, Brett? How are you doing today, man?
Oh, I'm doing awesome, thanks. It's been a great day chasing after my kids and I don't know. It's been like the Phil Vassar song, Just Another Day in Paradise. It's been a good one.
I'm glad to hear that, man. That's awesome. I got some kids of my own and we can talk about that a little bit later, but let's just jump right in. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about music and things like that. I know you're originally, of course, from Alberta, Canada. Is that where you're living now? Or are you back in Nashville?
Well, I do split my time between Music City and our farm up here in Alberta. But as I'm speaking to you right now, I am up in Alberta. And I think the reason why I might be in such a good mood is because just this weekend, all the snow finally melted. And we finally are starting to see a little bit of green grass poke out. So I'm from like pretty far north. And don't get me wrong, I do love the winter, but this one was way too damn long. So the fact that we can go do some spring things and some summer things are just right around the corner. There's a lot of excited Albertans and Canadians now that the weather seems to be a little bit better.
What's the temperature out there right now?
Well, I mean, we're Celsius, so it would be, I don't know, probably be about plus 10. So I don't know, that probably like somewhere in the 40s for you.
Okay. Yeah, we're here in Atlanta down south, so we're rocking a nice 83 degrees here, one of the warmer days.
83?
Oh, yeah, that's Fahrenheit.
Oh, that's so good. That is awesome. Yeah, no, we still have our winter gear, and we've got four kids, and it's amazing. Whenever we toured, we would bring everything for all seasons, because at any given time, you could have a Chinook come over the mountains in Calgary, Alberta, and just make it like, you know, a hot spring or summer day in the middle of the winter. Or you could be on August long weekend on like August 3rd and it could be snowing. So in Canada, you never know what you're going to get, but I think that's kind of made us all very hardy people. So, and I think it comes through a little bit in our music too, just talking about the landscape and stuff like that, especially my last record too.
And speaking of the landscape, I know you grew up on a cattle ranch, right?
Yes, sir.
And I think I heard that ranch is still in your family, right?
Yeah. You know, my wife and I, a couple of years ago, we were able to buy into the ranch, you know, with my grandparents and partner with my aunt, my uncle, and buy the home quarter from my Meemaw and my Grandpa Bear. We call them Meemaw and Grandpa Bear. And so they've run the ranch for decades, and it has been in our family for 112 years this summer. So wow. I'm just so grateful that, you know, we get to be another generation. I'm the fifth and my kids will be the sixth.
And so you have cattle on there. So you're a genuine cowboy.
Well, you know what? I'd like to say that I am, but I'm not cool enough to really be one of the cowboys. We do have cattle, that's for sure. And we love our ranch and we rent out a lot of our cropland. But if you're watching Yellowstone, those guys are like all horseback, all authentic Western cowboy. For us, we drive our four-wheelers and chase cattle that way. And it's a bit more of a commercial ranch. You know, John Dutton has thousands and thousands of head of cattle and millions of acres. we have about 300 cows on about 5,000 acres. So it's still a wonderful property. But yeah, we do things a little bit more commercial and less horseback. My grandpa never really got along with horses, but he gets along with his John Deere tractor, that's for sure.
That's funny. Yeah, I love Yellowstone. Fantastic show. Wife and I, of course, binged it. That's a good one.
It is. And I think the best part about that show, well, I mean, there's many great things, is that, you know, love or hate John Dutton, but as a main character, he says what he says. And he just doesn't care. And in a world today where everyone has to be so careful about what they're going to say, it's really great to watch a character like John Dutton who just doesn't care, because cancel culture will never find him in the hills of Montana.
That's funny. So you grew up on the ranch. You guys still have it in your family. And I know you started music pretty young. Was it like, you know, 12 years old, you put out your first record? Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, 12 was the first time I put out a recording. It was actually on a cassette, and it was called Keeping It Country, all cover songs, like, you know, Johnny Cash songs and Charlie Pride songs. But I got my first guitar when I was 6. So all I've ever wanted to do was play music. I didn't really realize that it could be a career, but I'm really grateful that, you know, I've had this opportunity to play as much as I have been, and I've been able to make a career out of it. So I'm one of the lucky ones.
That's so cool. I know you're massive in Canada. You've had a great career so far up there. When are we going to get more of you in the United States, man? I want to see you touring more. I want to see more of you over here.
Well, Mark, I think that's more up to you than it is me. You know, like I would love nothing more than to get a chance to play more in the States. And we had some great momentum in 2020 leading up to, you know, a big world event that shut everything down. But the reality is that we're going to pick up where we left off. And I think with our new single and a bunch of really great plans, we do have some exciting things in the works for late 2022 and into 2023. Now that I can kind of get my bearings again and get my feet under me again, if that all makes sense.
Yes. Let's do that. We need more and more Brett Kissel down here. And speaking about new music and new plans, let's talk about that brand new single and music video that you just put out, Ain't the Same. And it was a song that I wasn't really expecting, a collaboration that I thought was pretty, pretty cool. You and those guys of 98 Degrees. Tell me about the song and how it came together.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know, I'm so lucky. I really am that I get a chance to work with 98 Degrees. I absolutely loved the opportunity to collaborate with them. They're so talented. Their vocals are so great. And as I kind of did more research and really sat with some of their big hits, I realized that just because they were around in the late 90s and early 2000s doesn't mean that those original songs didn't have a bit of a country flair to it in terms of lyrical content and the way that the chorus is elevated. So it kind of makes a little bit more sense than I even realized, you know, working with them. And it all is because of my manager. My manager, Jim Kressman, loved this song that I wrote called Ain't the Same. And he pitched it to 98 because he's friends with those guys and Jeff Timmons of 98. And he said, like, when Jeff was saying, I truly believe that, you know, that we're going to do a country record, Jim pitched this song to them for their country record. As they didn't wind up doing a country record, what ended up happening is they said, well, we still want to do this song. Do you think Brett would do it with us? And I'm like, what? Oh my God, of course I'll do it with you guys. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is the greatest opportunity that's ever been presented to me. So I'm really grateful that we were able to get this off the ground and it sounds as good as it does.
So this is a song that you wrote or you helped write that you pitched them originally?
Correct. Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. That's cool. And I like how your IG bio says future member of 98 Degrees, just waiting for the right moment for them to invite me into the band.
Exactly. And it's subtle because I've been texting with the guys and they haven't, I don't think they've noticed it. But the minute that they, maybe the minute that they do, maybe I can get that official invite, even if it's just like, you know, an honorary membership or something like that. You know, when a big star goes to a city and they give Garth Brooks the keys to New York City or something like that. I'm hoping that even if they just got to go to Staples and make me a certificate and put it in a Walmart frame, I just want to join the band.
What do you think the key to the city item would be for that band to give to you? Probably a thermometer.
Yeah, actually, that would be hilarious.
Or a crop top?
Not for me. I've got a dad bod. I've got four kids, and I put on the full COVID-19 pounds, if you know what I mean. So, so I don't want to stand next to Nick Lachey with my shirt off. I'll just say that right now.
That's funny. And you know, when I read that thing on your Instagram bio, I actually thought of that same thing when I was watching the music video, which I know just came out. I saw all five of you standing there with you in the center. I was like, this looks like a band. There's five of you. You're the fifth piece that they need.
Well, hey, you should get a conversation going with Jeff and Nick and Drew and Justin, and you tell them that, because that way it's a lot better than me saying, hey guys, can I join your band?
I think that's what's missing. I mean, NSYNC, five guys. Backstreet Boys, five guys. 98 Degrees, four guys. It looked right. It looked right with five guys there. I'm not going to lie.
I agree with you. So yeah, we got to make that happen.
So is this going to be a one-off song, or is this part of new plans and like maybe a future album down the line?
Well, I don't know. I think we really take it song by song. And the reality is these guys are so busy and they're so highly sought after, you know, as entertainers and everything like that, that to me, I truly believe that we really have to gauge the success of this song and all the measurable statistics that go into, you know, determining whether the song was a success. Now, luckily, I mean, it's been a huge hit on social media. Luckily, we've got over 1 million views on Facebook in the first 2 days. Luckily, it's gaining a lot of steam and, you know, it's got a lot of heat, you know, pardon the pun. So, I mean, I would work with these guys no matter what at any time, but it's really all about scheduling. It's all about the right song, the right opportunity. I just know that now that we've got the song, it's time to get to work. And I can't wait to start playing some shows with the guys and seeing exactly how this song translates live, because I mean, I predict that it's going to be a really special song to play live on stage.
So let's talk about that latest album that came out of yours, What Is Life? Yeah. Because I really like that album.
Thank you.
And I absolutely love the single off that, Make a Life, Not a Living.
Thank you.
Great song, man. Did you know that song was going to be a hit?
Well, I really hope that it was going to be, simply because it meant so much. And I think people, no matter what era they are in or what chapter they're in their lives, I believe it's one of the most relatable songs that I've ever recorded, or maybe I've even ever heard. Because, I mean, and the storyline behind it, I mean, I got that song on my 30th birthday. It's the heart of the shutdown, and I've retreated to my farm, and I don't know if music is ever going to come back. And here I am on this most beautiful spot on our cattle ranch, and I'm overlooking, you know, the river and the creeks and these rolling hills, and my phone dings, and it's my buddy Stephen Lee Olson who wrote that song. And it's like, happy 30th birthday, buddy. I just thought you'd like this song. And I listened to it and I almost broke down and just started to weep, because that's me. That's exactly what I'm thinking in this moment. I'm going to restructure everything. I'm going to get rid of all the materialistic shit, and I'm just going to focus on the important things. And that's what life is all about, is looking at the people that matter in your life the most. And it's the people, it's time, it's not possessions, it's not money. So for me, I'm just so grateful that I was able to tell that story. And I actually didn't care if it was going to be a hit or not, but I felt if there ever was a song that people are going to relate to and really identify with and just soak in of anything I've ever done in my entire life, it's got to be this song. And I'm really grateful that it was that song.
Yeah, it's a song that resonated especially with me. And I'll be honest, I'm not a lyrics guy. I'm not much of a lyrics guy. Really, never have been. I'm more of like, you know, the melody and the music. It's got to be on point for me. But these lyrics were hitting pretty hard. They're very relatable, and it's one of those rare songs for me that I really related to the lyrics and really kind of dug into them. So, well done there.
Well, thank you. And I really appreciate you saying that. And there are a lot of people out there that love the lyrics and they're all about the lyrics. And then there's people like you or my wife, Cecilia, who is literally only about the melody and the feeling, you know. And that's why there have been so many great artists in the past that if you actually go line by line on their lyrics, no offense to Shania Twain, who's an extraordinary artist, but one of her songs, Up, 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 Can Only Go Up. from here up, up, way up, where the clouds gonna click. Like that's it. There's no meat on the bone. But you hear her play that in front of 50,000 people, and I'm singing it at the top of my lungs, being like, this song is amazing. But my wife is all about that melody and that feeling. Whereas me, I'd rather sit down with a nice drink and I'd listen to The House That Built Me by Miranda Lambert, or I'd listen to George Strait, I Can Still Make Cheyenne, and you know, those kinds of songs. But I think we actually hit the nail on the head with great melody, great vibe, and really great lyrics on Make a Life Not a Living.
And a music video that was congruent with the message, which I thought is always key for me.
Well, yeah, thank you. You know, sometimes music videos can take a bit of a turn, and you know, I've done that before in some of my songs, but I remember telling the directors, I said, I want this song, I need this song to almost follow the lyric word for word. You know, from fishing to front porch to everything that matters in my life right now, and time with my family. So I'm super thankful that they allowed me to, you know, have my fingers and my fingerprints on that video.
Yeah, yeah. I think I read that that was kind of the first song that kind of kicked off the album in terms of making it and putting everything together, right?
Oh, yeah, in a big way. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's a great one. And it's a very personal album. You obviously have those interludes with one of your children talking and you talking and talking about what is life. Because, you know, not everybody does that on a record, you know, talking to the audience before a song comes on. Was that uncomfortable for you to do, or did that kind of come naturally?
You know what? I specifically wanted to be very different, and I wanted to set the tone for the musical experience that the listener was about to have. Because the reality is that if all you want is that one song, Make a Life Not a Living, or another single of mine called Night in the Life, if that's all you want, great. You can just go to Apple Music or Spotify, you can find that song, and I know you're going to love it, or at least I hope you will. But if you actually want to sit down and listen to the record and spend 45 minutes with me, I actually wanted to bring you in. And that was all by design. So to set the tone and also set the intention for the record and the listening experience, I wanted like a spoken word conversation off the top where I truly just explain and ask the question, what is life? And I set it into my voice notes is all I did. And I just went back and forth of the internal struggle and the ups and downs of life. And that's all I talked about, which again, set the tone for the record. Now, including my children, I asked them, you know, all three of them at the time, I've got four now, but about life and the things that matter the most. Or my daughter, Aria, had the most beautiful little prayer, you know, I love you, mom and dad, and you're the love of my heart. And I just wanted to include that to, I guess, show a more personal side to me and have those personal touches for the parents out there or those who are kids themselves, you know, to listen to that and understand that this is much more than hit songs. This is all about a real feeling. And I tried my very best to portray that.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. There's some nice touches to it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Dare I say that the album is a concept album?
You know what? I would actually say absolutely. And the concept was like internal desire, love, self-care, trying to figure out what the universe has in store. And that is the entire concept for the record and self-reflection. So I don't think I'll ever do another record like that again. I haven't never done one since. And I just don't know if it would ever make sense to do another one, but at least to put me on a different path, to be honest, to be a little bit more courageous in terms of the songs I select and the music that I choose to do on future projects.
There you go. Brett Kissel made a concept album for everybody out there and all the music nerds who like concept
100%,
albums.
100%.
So I know that you feature your wife, Cecilia, in a lot of your videos. Is that something she enjoys, or is it kind of pulling teeth to get her involved?
Well, I think in this day and age, I think it's a little bit tougher to get her out of the house. I mean, she loves growing her garden and chasing after her kids and living out here on the farm. So getting her out of the farm is a bit of a job now. That being said, I do love including her in as many music videos as she's willing to be a part of, simply because I just love her so much, really. And if I'm going to be kissing some hot girl that's supposed to be the love interest in the music video, It better be Cece. And she's made that very clear.
Of course, of course. And you guys have some kids. I think you got 4 kids. Is that right?
Yeah, yeah, we got 4 kids. So Mila, she's our oldest. She's 6 years old. Next in line is Aria. She's 5, just turned 5 a couple of days ago. Next in line is our first son. His name is Leo. And his nickname is Curly Joe because he's got the curliest little blonde hair I've ever seen. And now we have a newborn. And his name is Atlas. So Mila, Aria, Leo, and Atlas.
Oh, wow. 2 and 2. Boys and girls. Wow.
We couldn't be happier.
That's incredible. How old's the youngest one again?
Just 2 months old.
2 months old. Oh, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a 9-month old. It's my first. So.
And a son or daughter?
It's a boy. His name is Connor. And yeah, it's been fantastic. Boys are awesome. Maybe I'll have a girl in the future. We'll see.
Well, you never know. Practice makes perfect. If you want more kids.
Do you have any recommendations for new parents from somebody who has 4 children?
It's truly, truly, truly understanding how special and precious these moments are. Because with kids who are under the age of 1, and even kids from the time they were born to their 4 years old, they change every single day. So cherishing this, you can't take enough pictures. You can't enjoy this time enough. But it's also very interesting. What I say is also just don't take anybody's advice. My best advice is don't take anybody's advice in terms of like parenting and all that stuff, really, because like what works for Connor may not work for my son, Leo. And what really worked for Leo may not work for Connor. So it's one of those things. You are the dad. You know innately, you know instinctually in your heart of hearts what is going to work. And what maybe worked for your parents, you know, in 1995 or 1982 may not work now in 2022. So it's just really important to just get your bearings and have your feet under you and just understand that you are doing the right thing. So cut yourself some slack.
I like that. I like that. So when it comes to playing live, what would you say the worst show that you've ever played was? Maybe it was a bad performance, you had a bad crowd, a small crowd, or maybe just a weird venue.
Yeah, it's called the Carp Fair. It's outside of Eganville, Ontario, or Carp, Ontario. It's one of those festivals. So it's kind of like a small town festival and county fair. And don't get me wrong, the show was great. But there were just, I broke strings on, I have 3 guitars. Because if you break one, you just go to your second. If you break your second, no big deal, you go to your third. Well, I broke strings on all 3 of my guitars. So comedy of errors. My microphone was just cutting in and out. It was so hot that day. So that was causing some stress. Our drummer, he ended up blowing through one of his drums. Like just comedy of errors. Everything was going wrong. And then for some reason, there were so many cords on the stage. We were usually wireless, but this show in particular, we're all using cords. So, I mean, lo and behold, if I don't trip on a cord and almost fall and you're trying to save yourself, I'm like, okay, but like, all right, just get it together. Take a deep breath. We were doing a cover that summer of Shut Up and Dance With Me, which is great. Kind of the end of the night, everybody's excited. And then I stand on this speaker because I'm going to win the crowd back. I'm going to do this big jump off the speaker. So I'm on the speaker and I'm singing Shut Up and Dance. And I put my microphone out. Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. She said, quit holding back, she said. And then the crowd goes, shut up and dance. And then I jump up and I land on my cowboy boots and I roll my ankle. And I just freaking yard sale. And I do a somersault and I biff. My cowboy hat goes into the crowd. And these drunk guys take my hat. And they're like, yeah, we got Brett Kissel's hat. I'm like, no, I need that back. Like, that's my hat. Like, you do not touch a cowboy's hat. And then another guy, because my microphone fell out of my hand, it fell right into the front row. And this big burly trucker, do you remember on YouTube, and I'm going to swear here, do you remember on YouTube where like a newscaster would be or a weather reporter would be out and then someone would randomly just grab their microphone and shell and yell
I remember out, that trend.
Yeah. And you know what they would yell out, right?
Yep. Yep. I do know.
Okay. Well, I am going to say it, but it fell, my microphone fell out. And this big burly trucker, he grabs the mic and he just hollers this, a big F word. and everything like that. And there's kids there. And so the security tackles this guy. And I try to get my mic back. And the band is like, do we continue? Do we not? It was the worst show of my life. Nothing went well at all. And I'm like, I'm vibrating now, even telling you about this, because like, I don't know. Like, I feel like it was yesterday. This is like 6 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was a doozy. It was a doozy, buddy.
Is this the first time you've spoken about this publicly?
It is. Everybody always asks me about the best show. Nobody asks me about the worst show. And it was a night. It was a night I'll never forget.
Oh, man, that's too funny, man.
Why did those guys take your hat?
Yeah, and my kids are here. They walked into the office and they're like, Dad, why did that guy take your hat? Well, he wasn't supposed to.
I heard it.
I know. And Uncle Kevin, who's my kid's uncle, and he's also my tour manager, Uncle Kevin was not too happy about it. He went and he chased those guys down and he got my cowboy hat back. Don't you worry.
Oh, I'm glad you got your cowboy hat.
Oh, should we keep that the whole entire show?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's too cute with the kid in the background. So these next questions are what we close with and ask everyone.
Awesome.
So first question, what would you tell your 21-year-old self?
Save more money.
Save more money. Any stories around that or just general wisdom?
Oh my, there's 700 stories because I mean, when I was 21 and I was making some pretty decent money, well, no, I was one minute I'm broke. The next minute I do a gig and I got $10,000 and I spent it all. And then the next minute I'm broke again. And then I did two shows at $10,000. Now I got 20. They're like, let's go to Vegas. And then you lose it all. And then I'm broke again. So it's like, okay.
And then the tax man comes wanting some of it at the end of the year.
Yeah. And then you have IRS in Canada. We got Canada Revenue Agency. And then my business manager, who I got later, tells me, no, 50% of that goes right to the government. I'm like, what? Why did they teach me this in school? Like, why do I need to do physics and calculus in school when I need to learn to pay taxes? Like, what the hell? So, I mean, my 21-year-old self, it'd be this. Have as much fun as you can, but spend half the money.
Good advice. Good advice.
Yes.
So next question. What are you drinking lately? If you don't drink alcohol, it can be anything refreshing you like to drink.
Oh, well, I mean, while I was in the middle of this conversation, so we have a handyman here on our property and he's a buddy of mine. His name is Mike. And Mike is a jack of all trades. And literally while I'm having a conversation, what he did is he brought a jar of moonshine in. So him and his old lady, they make peach moonshine or apple pie, cherry lime and stuff like that. So I got a jar in my hand. I'm about to take a sip. So if you want to talk about what I'm drinking lately, it's the good stuff. It's some homemade foothills of Alberta mountain brew.
Nice, nice. That sounds good. What's your usual go-to? Are you a beer guy? Are you a whiskey guy? Or dare I say a vodka guy? I think you might have a vodka brand.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do love to drink whiskey. I love to drink a cold beer at a hockey game or a ball game. I'm not fussy. That I can tell you. Red wine with a beautiful steak and white wine with seafood. There's a lot of great things. And I do love the culture and the spirits industry. And because of that passion for the spirits industry, I bought a vodka company. And so I've got a partner named Matt Doucette. He and I are best buddies. And we have a company called Deuce Vodka, which is available up here in Canada. And I'm so excited about the early success that we've had and all the potential that this company has. And then learning exactly how to make incredible vodka. Because unless you're a Ukrainian like me, nobody really drinks vodka straight. Russians do, Ukrainians do. And my grandpa, Grandpa Bear, he's 5 feet tall and about 7 feet around. And he has a little shot in his broken English. And he says, you wake up in the morning, you wash your hands, you wash your face, so why not wash your heart? So that's him, and he has a little shot of vodka and he really loves my stuff. And if that old timer likes my stuff, then I think everybody else will.
Well, hopefully I can pick up a bottle down here in the States at some point.
Well, you know what? If you can book me for a gig down there in Georgia, why don't I'll make sure that there's a bunch on my bus. I'll leave you with a couple bottles so that you and your buddies can have a little taste test too.
Let's do it. I'm going to call some folks. We're going to make this happen.
Yeah. Put it up against Goose and Tito's and Absolut and Belvedere and all that stuff. We're really proud of our product. It's filtered extremely well and it's smooth. It really is.
So as this is Rock Down South. So What is something, or maybe a couple things that come to mind, that you love about the South?
Well, I think the music in the South, you look at all the great artists, you know, that have come from, you know, the great state of Georgia. You look at how the South has influenced musical culture and American culture, you know, with Southern rock and all that good stuff that has come from the South. For me, in a big way, had it not been, you know, for those great songs and those great bands and those great moments in music history, I just don't know if we'd be in the exact same boat that we're in today, or we'd be as well off as we all are being able to, you know, talk about the great musical influences over the past several decades. So music is number one. And then number two, I think it's culture. Like, I love how polite everybody is in the South. Even if you're going to, you know, if you're going to give a backhanded compliment, be like, man, that Brett Kissel, his music ain't the best, but bless his heart, you know, like that, that to me, I love. So I love the culture of the South. And I have to say, in the great state of Tennessee, they have a hockey team there called the Nashville Predators. And I would have never thought in a minute, like ever, that they would embrace hockey the way that Nashville has embraced hockey. And I just have to say, it's probably one of the best sporting events to go and watch. And I've seen them all around the world. One of the best sporting events is to watch a hockey game in Nashville. And I believe that now hockey is really getting a really good look in the South. So I want to say thank you to the South for embracing hockey the way that they have.
That they have. That was a great answer. Hey, thank you so much, Brett, for being a part of the show today. Where can people find and connect with you online?
It's very simple. Just go to my Instagram, Brett Kissel. Follow me on TikTok. I'm having some fun with TikTok. Brett Kissel Music is Facebook, Twitter, obviously, or just standard good old brettkissel.com.
Thank you so much for listening to the show today. Hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I had a really great time chatting with Brett. He's a super talented artist, really nice guy, family guy. I just can't wait to see him play down here sometime soon. So make sure to go follow Brett on all of his social media pages and check out his latest single and music video for Ain't the Same with 98 Degrees. Also, give his latest album, What is Life, a listen. It did just win a Juno Award for Best Country Album of the Year. Check all our content at rockdownsouth.com and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for the latest updates. And as always, the views and opinions expressed by our guests are theirs and don't necessarily reflect our own. I'm Mark, and you've been listening to Rock Down South. See y'all next time.